It's the way we that are educated handle the Bible that doesn't help us. Please, I'd like everybody to listen to this. We that are educated, we are after information. So information is what we get. We have knowledge. So we read the Bible with that kind of thinking, information. When I read something, it is either it is or it is not. And we call it information age. Before information age was the industrial age. And before the industrial age was the agricultural age. So there was agriculture, there was industry, then there was now information. We live in an information world that is that just like that. But the Bible is not written during information age. It was not written even in industrial age. It was written in agricultural age. And the reason why, please listen to this. It bothered me at the beginning of my Christian life. When either I'm well informed or not informed. That's not the Bible. In fact, when you see the word knowledge in the Bible, don't quickly associate it with information. Let me give an example. The Bible said, Adam knew Eve, his wife. Any problem? Adam knew Eve, his wife. That's not information. How many of you agree with me on that? If you don't, you must believe in another planet. You know, to know his wife was not just to know her data like we know today. It's just deeper than that. So when we look at the Bible, we must not look at the Bible like it is or it is not. That's information. The Bible is more agricultural. Let's look at Mark 4:26 to say that well. Mark 4:26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as a man who scatter seed on the ground and so sleep, scatter seed on the ground as who sleep by night, rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Next verse. For the earth yield crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he put in the sickle because the harvest has come. This set of verses confused me in my beginning of my Christian life because this was describing the kingdom of God. And here I was as a Christian. I read this verse as a young man who had ambition that seek ye first the kingdom of God and all this shall be added to you. I mean, if you remember that verse, all of us know that verse. Then I was started looking for what is the kingdom of God? And then Jesus confused us or confused me with verse 26 of this verse. He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. I'm looking for the kingdom. I'm thinking something I need to get some kind of stuff. But he's saying that the kingdom of God is like seed. Now, you know that I was born in Ivory Coast. I desired to be a farmer until I came to my village. Every desire to be a farmer evaporated. Do you know why? Because I was more of a person of writing. In fact, my uncle would tell me, Taka dae luma je. I said, I'm okay. I was more of an information person. So when we're in the bush, wristwatch is thrown away. We don't look at wristwatch, we look at seasons. And second, whatever we want to get, we don't get it by information. We don't press a button, we plant it. And as we plant it, we watch it grow. So there is patience in what we are after. If you want beans now, we just can't get beans like that, press a button. We're going to have to wait, plant it, water it, then it will come off. Am I making some sense? So now, the Bible just won't happen in your life if you don't plant and water it. Are you hearing me? Anything you see in the Bible that you don't have, what should you do with it? Take the seed, not just be informed. Information is not enough. You have to take that and plant it. And plant it. And water it. Let's look at chapter 3, 1 Corinthians. Paul said it like this, verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, please listen to this. Paul was describing the same thing Jesus just said. Anything we want to see in our life, what do we do first about it? We just don't get information about it. This is where we've been taught, information age. Rather, we get the seed of that thing we are after. And so when we get the seed, we can now start planting it and water it. So somebody had to plant, somebody had to water. Then God will do what? Give the increase. So if I want purity, I can't just have purity like that. I must plant the seed. I must get it watered. If I want prosperity, the same thing. If I want health, the same thing. I'm going to have to plant it. It just won't happen. I mean, I went to the farm. I hated farming. Because we'll go to the farm, and we plant it, and we'll see the result the next day. You just won't see it. And it's even tougher. You have to wait. You have to be subject to the element till it grows. That changes everything. Do you know that in this generation, informational age, we believe more in prayer? You know, prayer is reaping the harvest. But we never think about what we plant. Oh, want to make some sense? When it comes to healing and health, we think of prayer. When it comes to finances, we think of breakthrough. But no, kingdom of God that we should seek after, you plant the seed, you water it. Now, saying all that, let's go to Psalm 103, verse 1. As we begin this year, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Next verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do what? Forget not all his benefit. The Bible says we should forget the things which are behind us. The Bible says we should strive to go forward. But in certain dimensions, in certain areas, certain things we must not forget. And that word, remember, we think information age. We think like this. When we say no, so what is forget? Forget is what? What is forget? You don't know. You don't know anymore. No. That's not Bible forget. That's not Bible forget. Have you ever read this verse in the Bible? And the Lord remembered Noah. Did he forget him before? Like when we come to the communion, remember me. Does it mean that we're forgetting him? No. You see, it's a little bit because of just information age. We think of much just in our mind. The people of the Bible are not mind people, they are heart people. So he said, forget not his benefit. So I want us to do something this morning. Can we spend some time to just plant his benefits, water his benefits, and see God bringing the benefit? How many of you agree with me on that? This benefit won't happen. You know that when you have benefit at work, it just won't pay you second day. It's part and parcel of what you are doing. Like now, if you get a house benefit, housing benefit, we call it allowances, am I correct? So this morning, we want to remind ourselves not to forget. Not to forget his benefit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. To be honest with you, there is nothing around us to bless. The government, we don't bless them. We spend more time talking about them in a bad way. But can we just stop 1 minute? Everybody, can you just stop 1 minute? Lift your hands and say, Father, I bless you above all. In this new year, I bless you. My soul, bless you. My soul, lift you up. My soul, lift up the Lord above everything else, above all the decadence, above all the problems, above all the issues. My soul, the Lord is the one to bless. The Lord, be blessed, Father God. I bless you this morning and lift my hands to you and I give you glory because you matter to me. You matter to me. You are all that matters. Thank you, Father. Amen. But can you open your eyes? But he said, do something at the same time you are doing that. Don't forget. You know, some people think that we should not be thinking about benefits of the Lord. You know, there was this song, I just don't listen to it anymore. I'm here. I'm not looking for your blessing. That song say now. You know that song now? I'm not here for a blessing. Yeah, you remember the song now? I come to seek. No, not that one. That's another one, recent one. That says, I'm here before your presence. I'm not here for a blessing. I just want to. No. That. We should not say that. We should not say that to God. I mean, my children won't come and say, I just don't want your money. I just don't want. I just don't want. Everything's packaged. Am I right? So we should not just be. I know that we want to be humble. I know we want to be humble. I know we want to be straight. I know, but he said, don't forget. So don't forget. Don't forget. Give us back Psalm 103, verse 2. Don't forget. Don't forget. That means cultivate this benefit. Welcome this benefit. Give your mind to it. And let's spend some few minutes on them. Let's go to verse 3. It says, he starts talking about this benefit. Number one, who forgives all your iniquities? So the number one benefit on the top of the cake is what? Forgiveness, not just for our sins, but for our iniquities. We'll see that in a minute. Second, who heals all our diseases that are peculiar to us? Because we are this person, we are from this family, we are from this country, we are from this continent. Who heals all? In fact, I love it in the original. It says, who is forgiving all our iniquities is a continuous blessing, benefit. Who is healing all our sicknesses? Next verse. Who redeems your life from destructions? One Bible says, who redeems your life from early grave? Another one says, who redeems your life from accident? Another one says, who redeems your life from the pit? And the pit stands for grave and hell. So number one, who forgives? He said we should remind ourselves, we should not forget this benefit. What's the first one? Who forgives? Second, who heals all our diseases? Third, who redeems our... I don't know if you have ever read the book by Mr. Oedipus's wife. Redeemed from destruction. How she was tormented for years. My friend told me they flew out to America. They got the best expert doctors trying to get her well. It was not the best people in the body of Christ prayed for her. I think T.L. Osborne even prayed for her. She was not getting better. But one day she rose up and read this verse. Who redeems my life from destruction? She took that verse, like I told you, she began to plant it and water it and water it and water it. And the Lord set her free. Well, what they could not get even from the Spirit, what they could not even find by the men of God praying for her. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy? So there is a crown for us as we walk with the Lord. That is a benefit. And what's that crowning? Loving kindness and what? And tender mercies. And I think you like the next one. The fifth one now. Next verse. It says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? You know, this is so critical for all of us who are here this morning. You know, when you are 25, 30, you are looking up to life. But when you pass 45, 50, you start thinking, I'm getting older. Am I right? It looks as if you are going down. And every time you wake up in the morning, either your back or your leg or something, you start wondering. And what a beautiful privilege and benefit to have our youth renewed. Amen, somebody. You know what I'm doing with these verses? I'm cultivating them. I'm trying to put them. I don't have it straight just by knowing it. But it says, satisfy. So Bible says, satisfies your life with good things. Okay, beautiful. It fills my life with good things. So my youth is renewed. In fact, on my WhatsApp now, I put an eagle there. I want to keep it before me. Praise God. So, who renew? That means, can we trust God for renewal this year? That He will renew our youth. Huh? That you start feeling like as if you are younger. Anybody here? What an opposite. I mean, you get older, you start feeling slower, duller, and life goes down the line. But can we say this morning, can we lift our hands, Father, thank you for renewal of my youth. My youthfulness. It's your benefit, Father. I won't forget this benefit. I don't want to forget it. I know I'm getting older, but I don't want to forget this benefit, that you will renew my youthfulness. You will renew me like an eagle. Thank you for renewing my life. Thank you for refreshing my life. We call this one renew and refresh service. What an apt time to say this before the Lord. Lord, renew me. renew my strength, renew my ability, renew my vigor, my vitality. Help me to look at life with freshness of a youth person, a young person. Help me to face life with the abundant possibilities ahead of me. Let me not go down and lose out and feel cheated and tired in life. I look up to you this morning, for you are the God of my benefit. Your benefits accrue to me this morning. Thank you for renewing my youth. At whatever level you are in your physical frame or mental frame, can you just welcome renewal this morning? Just welcome renewal this morning. Like, you know, renew my youth. See, every part of my body, welcome renewal this morning. It says, who renews my heart, my kidneys, my lungs, my mind, my memory, my brain, my legs, my hands, my ankles, my joints. I receive good things with my mouth this morning, and then I'm renewed like the eagles. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's turn it to prayer and make it. You know, I love that. Renew. Ego. I was told that ego lived for about almost 90 years. When they get to about 40, 45, these big egos, they fly to a mountain. They will shed all the feathers. And the beak, that sharp thing used to catch fish, is no longer as strong as it used to go. So it will go to the rock and start smashing the rock with his beak till that thing fall off. And then it will stay there, vulnerable, naked, and wait for that beak to grow back and the feathers to be renewed again. Only the ego can look at the sun. Nobody else can. And I was told that the ego at that moment will stare at the sun, look at the sun, and then give a loud cry and come back and live another life again. Praise God. We know the rock is his word acting on it. We know the son looking at the Father God is our son and shield. And as we come to this service, let's trust God for renewal this year. Let's believe him that he'll take care of us. Amen, somebody. Amen. Tell the neighbor beside you, the Lord will take care of you. He will forgive you. He will heal you. He will redeem you. He will crown you. Satisfy your mouth. Praise God. Amen. Dear, that's good for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So, my youth this year will be renewed. So I go and do youthful things. I'm like, I get things done. Amen. I will not be living as if Agbatinde, Karama, slow down, Karama, woo, Karama, say, ah, wow. I will do that. I'll be wise. Okay. If your car is Toyota Venza with ABG, please, your attention is on the outside. Thank you. So, egos. Egos. Now, let's do something before we leave here. You know the top of the park? Give us verse 2 again. And forget not all his benefit. And it's very easy to let your contemporary generation determine what you prioritize. For instance, you know what? If you look at those verse 3 to verse 5, do you know what they put first in that place? Who forgives? We hardly talk about iniquities anymore. Of course, we call it corruption, which happens in federal government, not in our lives. Who forgives all our iniquities? It's top of the park. You know what I noticed? The older you get, I ask those who are younger, I say, hey, I don't know if you want to live long here. I see every hand go up. And I say, be careful, though. Old age is bad. You will live along to reap what you sow. You hear what I just said? Let's say that one more time. You see, if you do a lot of crazy things and you die early, you will not reap all those things when you are here. You are gone. You know. But when you live long, you come to see a lot of things that have to do with your life. And sometimes, how many of you, be honest here, you look back and say, I wish I didn't do that. Any problem? Okay. I wish I didn't do that. How many of you never have any regrets here? Let's do it from that positive point of view. Can I see your hands up? You never have any regrets. If I see your hands up, it's either you are blind, you are deaf, or you're just playing pranks with me. All of us over here, we have things that we wish that never happened to us. We wish that we never took that road. We wish we never said that. We wish we never committed to that. And you see, those things, please listen to this. Those things make us older, make us weaker than what we think. Sometimes we are bothered about what we eat. But you know what? What fills your mouth is the last one. Who fills our mouth with good things is the last one. It's powerful. Matter of fact, the real big one is iniquity. And when I say iniquity, please don't get me wrong. Iniquity is not something bad that you do. Bad you do is called sin. When they say don't go that way, you go, it's called transgression. But iniquity is different. Iniquity is our twistedness. It's the way we were. David said, I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. So everybody, every one of us, we have something that just kind of make us not to be all right. That's why some of us over here, when we are Christians, you know, we got born again, but our children got saved in our house, and we think they should be angels. And then you start seeing some things in their lives, you wonder, I don't be late. You will be. Praise God. And so we need to learn some of these things, and I want to share with us some few things this morning about forgiveness as we go into our future. We're going to have to learn to, you see, forgiveness has not been really clarified. Let's go. Take your Bible. Let's go to Matthew 6. One of the major prayer points you must have is in this area. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, you know, let's say prayer. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Let's go. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You've helped us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. I remember a man of God. I don't remember, so I won't mention his name because I'm not sure of his name. Before he was born again, he had an unbelieving girlfriend. They were sinning together. So he got saved, became a minister, and God anointed him with healing power. And then people would bring their children, their loved ones to him to pray for. Now, this is former girlfriend had gotten married, got a child that was sick. So they told her that there was this pastor who prayed for people to get well. So she took her son to see the pastor. So they ushered him to the pastor's office. And when she walked in, it was her former boyfriend behind the desk, who is now the pastor praying for the sick. James, so you are the one. You know, sometimes the Bible says in the midst of joy, the heart still remembers its pain. Sometimes when we are rejoicing, when we are singing, we remember what has happened to us, what we have done to others. It can be just painful. He dropped his own head there. He didn't know what to do. God said, take the baby, I'll heal him. So he asked for the baby and he prayed. Instantly, God healed. And you know what God was trying to do? I forgive your iniquities. I don't keep the record. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? The consequences, if you notice that place, can you go back to that prayer? Forgive us our debts. Or forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Why did you use the word debt, not just sin? Because every step we take that is wrong has consequences. And we owe something. So when we talk about forgiveness, it's actually to take care of the debt. What is owed? We'll see that in a minute. But you notice that This prayer is part of the prayer point Jesus gave us. Jesus gave us that we should pray. First of all, we should give our Father, hallowed be your name. Second, we should pray about his kingdom. Third, you've been doing that. We should pray about his will. And fourth, pray for our provision. But the next prayer point is what? Forgive us. Even before we pray for deliverance, look at next verse. It says, and do not do temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom. He put it, that deliverance from the evil one, the last one. But he puts on the fifth scale, forgive us our debt. But everybody, listen to this. This really helped me. The Lord said, do you know why I put that prayer point there? Because he said, forgiveness from iniquities and sins, they are like kidneys. You know kidneys in our body? You know kidneys in our body? Kidneys do dirty jobs. Am I right, sir? Kidneys carry all the waste out of the body and empty it out. So why is kidney failure so bad? Because the dustbin is no longer being carried. I think you understand what's going on now. See, God has created the kidneys to be the dustbin and offset the body from all the waste. So when kidney breaks down, it stops the body from releasing the waste, urea levels, just start going up, and the body is shut down. It dies over it. That's why Christian life too, we must not have a kidney failure spiritually. We must have a way of voiding and putting out the waste from our life. We must have a time of receiving forgiveness. Amen, somebody. We must learn to bring out of our bodies. Everybody looks nice now, but you all have waste in your body. And it must be offset, must be thrown out. Or else, your body will not be refreshed and renewed. Are you hearing me this morning, somebody? And no matter how proper you look, no matter how nice you look, no matter how, you still have waste in your body. That needs to be voided out and thrown out regularly, or else, you'll not be here anymore. So tell your neighbor, I hope your spiritual kidney is functioning. You know, forgive us our debt. Let's look at Matthew 18 and get into this. Bam, our time is gone. I hope I'll be able to do all I need to do for you today. Let's go to Matthew 18. It's a very interesting story. It said, forgive us our debt. It's saying, Lord, keep our account clear as we keep other people's account clear. Interesting. What's the meaning of that? Matthew 18. Let's look at verse 20, or 21 rather, after the prayer of agreement. 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him up to 7 times. Next verse. He said to him, I don't say to you up to 7 times, but up to what? 70 times 7. That's how much? 490. What you call you now? And let me try. That's complete number. Jesus said, no, it's not complete number. You put 0 behind the complete number and times by another complete number. What you call you? Now, listen to me, everybody. Something hit me one day. If God will require us to forgive 490 times, how much will he require for himself? What a blessing. What a blessing. Do you know right now, Beta Edu? Is that her name? She's just suspended. She's still on suspension. Will she be forgiven? We don't know from the government. That would be on our record for a long time to come. What happened to my son? That would be on our record for a long time to come. But let's just stop it here. I'm not APC. But I'm a minister of God. Somebody to Utah. Maybe it's not from the church over here. If you have a Benzer, please take care of it. You're blocking. I don't think it's from us. Let's read the story and round up. Our time is really gone. What I want to talk about, let's look at next verse quickly. Let's read it. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle account with his servant. Let's go. And when he had begun to settle account, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's about 50 million naira. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Now, see, listen to me, everybody here. This is where the trouble is. When I abuse you, or when I kick you, or when I take your money, it's just more than I take your money and abuse you. For instance, that issue about money for the poor. You're not just taking the money for the poor. We're going to count all the poor that are affected by your misbehavior. Please, are we here? When we do wrong thing, there are accounts that have to go into negative against us. And the account was brought here, and there was a problem about it. Forgive me just a minute. All right. Next verse. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I'll pay you all." Next verse. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. That's forgiveness. Who forgives all our iniquities? But that servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, about 5,000 naira. So that was 50 million, 5,000 naira. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe." Next verse. And the servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, same thing he said to the master, "Have patience with me and I'll pay you all." Next verse. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Next verse. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Next verse. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me." Next verse. "Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Let's read the verse together, the next verses. Let's read it together, everybody. Let's go. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Next verse. And so, let me hear your voice, everybody. So my heavenly Father will do to you if each of you, nobody exempted, from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Wow. That means he will hand you over to torturers. Now, how many of us want to live our life outside the torture in this coming year, in this coming next 10, 15, 20 years? You want to? Now, one thing we must learn to do is to release others. But that's not the issue this morning. I'm trying to emphasize God forgiving our iniquities. Am I right? And that iniquity, please listen, my time is almost up. Iniquity is our twistedness, our doing wrong that we don't think we are doing. Like some of us now, I'll give an example very well as I close. Let's go to this example. Everybody listen to this. It was 7 years of abundance in Egypt. Plenty was all over the place. But God gave Joseph the wisdom to tell Pharaoh to gather as much as he could gather. Are we following everybody here? And for 7 years, they gathered to the point they could not measure their gathering anymore. And then there was sufficient food packed. And then the seventh year was over. Then the famine began. Are we here? And then the first year, it got really bad. By the second year, the whole country was in dire need. And the country surrounding Egypt were all not able to plant seed. So Genesis 42, verse 1. Let's take a look. Genesis 42, verse 1. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, Indeed, I've heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there that we may live and not die. You know the story? So these 10 brothers went down to Egypt to buy grains. And then they walked down there and they saw Joseph. You know the story? And Joseph was looking more like an Egyptian now, all dressed up, been almost 12, 13, 14 years into his life after being sold. And his brother came. "Please, I need your attention. See, 12, 13 years after, something happened that brought some consequences. Joseph was sold. And he said, hey, what are you doing here? He recognized every one of them. Because the victim keeps the mind more than the oppressor. Did you hear what I just said? When you are hurt, it hurts more than the other person that hurt you. And he said, you're a spy. And he said, we're not spies. He said, how many of you? He said, we are 10. He started talking. I hope you're listening. Please, I need your attention here. I'm going somewhere for giving your iniquities. And he said, tell me about yourself. He said, we are 12. One is not. The other one, our father won't let him come out because the last one don't die like his brother. And we are 10. And Joseph said, you are spies. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to lock you up. So he took Simon and locked him up. 3 days later, he brought him out. And he said, I'm a nice man, oh. Let's go and read that one. Isaiah 40, Genesis 43. Hallelujah. Be with me. Getting older. Glory to Jesus. Genesis, is it Genesis 42 still? Genesis 42 still. Oh, glory to Jesus. Verse 18. So put it, then Joseph said to them, the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. Next verse. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go carry grain for the famine to your house, of your houses. Next verse. And bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified. You shall not die. They did so. And what happened? That he was speaking Egyptian language to them. And they said to one another, when you look up everybody, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. For we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we were not here. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. Next verse. And Reuben answered them and said, let's speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy, and you will not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood. What happened? It's on their conscience. That's why we need forgiveness. Anytime something you remember bugging you, you need that conscience to be cleansed. You may not tell anybody. They are talking their own language. They know, look at next verse. But they don't know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. Next verse. And he turned himself away from them and wept. Yesterday I was just crying with Joseph. There is this place in the Bible. Time's almost up. He just wept. So took Simon, locked him up, said, go. Now, please, can you look up a minute? I know you are thinking, these boys are bad. It's just more than bad. It's called iniquity. They were bent out of shape. They were born that way. We were born bent out of shape. Something wrong with all of us in the natural. If you are born in a Christian home, born to a pastor. Guess what? Remember, their mothers were sisters. Remember? And there was no love at home. The older sister was forced by Jacob's uncle trickery and threw the girl into marriage without the man expecting. And she was not loved. And God began to compensate her. And she began to call the baby after her own compensation. So, the children were born with an attitude that your father never loved us. And I'm trying to use you as a ransom price. Reuben, Judah, Simeon, Levi. And then, the sister didn't give birth because she was too beautiful. Hallelujah. And then, brought out a maid. Be with me, I'm closing. I have to close now. But I need to expose this thing. I don't know what the family line is all about. It's a godly home. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are not God of the devil. They are not devil of Abraham. So they grew up distant from each other. They grew up, you know, even those who are born in monogamous house, you have problems, am I right? You know your brothers and sisters? Spent and shaped iniquity. So and Joseph now came and became the loved one. That made the thing go to the next level. So first of all, he was having problem with the concubines' children, reporting them. Second, the father started loving him and made a special cloth for him. That made everything go to the next level. And then one day he had a dream. See that escalation of iniquity? And he started. And one day, he came the dreamer, remember? What really hit me in this story was the fact that when they're about to sell him, they said, let's kill him. Then Reuben said, let's hide him. You know what we have done when we are younger, things we have said we have done, iniquity, mess, things we've done, including pastors and Jews. I have to raise this up. I'm sorry, I'm going to close a little bit later. But I have to raise this up, starting the beginning of the year, so we can receive forgiveness and move on to the new year. You know, Joseph was struggling within himself too. So he locked them up, released them, then he put their money in their bags and said, go back and bring your brother. I want to know your brother's alive. So they carried their bag and they left. They got home. Dad, here's the food. We met this guy. He said we should bring our brother. He said, what did you tell him? He said, he was just asking us. We didn't know. But they said, you're not going to take my son. The first one is dead, and the real didn't die. They kept that from their father for years. All of us keep things like that. Look at your neighbor, tell him, you're guilty of it too. Things you don't see. You don't tell anybody. Till 10 years later, he showed up. Maybe an abuse or something. Never knew. So they said, the man said we should come. You don't come with us, with our brother. So the brother said, we're not going anywhere. But when they finished eating, he did power bar. So the father said, go collect. He said, I'm not collecting. They're not good. He said, oh, and then Reuben said something. He said, Dad, I will go. If I don't come back with Benjamin, kill my two sons. But the father didn't listen. But Judah, listen to this. Judah raised up his hands. He said, Dad, I will take care of the children. Now, I don't have time. My time is really gone. The father listened to Judah. Let me come down there. The father listened to Judah because Judah had suffered. After the story of Joseph being sold, in your Bible, 37, in 38th chapter of Genesis, which you don't read, Judah went down to Canaan, got a friend, and married a woman. And married a woman, and they have three boys, Er, Onan, Priscilla. And the Bible said, Judah found a wife for Er. His name sounds like Errol. This is troubling me. Let me go back up there. I'm going to tell you over there. And Tamar, he got a girl, got Tamar, and gave him to Er. And the Bible said Er was wicked, the sight of God, and God killed him. I had an experience like that recently. Be careful how you torment your spouse. Be careful how you torment your spouse. Be careful. I just want to warn you. God killed him. So, Judah said, I got three boys, one dead. So he took, okay, and what are we going to do with this wife? So he took the girl, Tamar. Come. Okay, Honor, help your brother have a son because he can't go anywhere. When you are just like that, you can't go anywhere those days. So Honor took the girl, and we sleep with her, and we impregnate her. And Bible says, God killed him. Can you imagine? You got three boys, two died, and God didn't tell you. He just killed them. You must say, God didn't kill them. Bible says, God killed them. I don't know. That theology. Now, you got the one last. This girl must be carrying some bad omen. So he told the girl, stay in your father's house. Are you still here with me? I'm sorry for taking our time today. Don't worry. I'm the pastor. I'm senior pastor. I can take the time. This is important. So Judah said, go to your house till Sila grow up. He had man, I ain't giving no Sila. I don't want them. Will all your children die? So something happened. You never know. It's easy to point finger. I don't need that one. Bible says, if anybody is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should know how to. Those who are spiritual have had experience like Judah. They've gone through things. A lot of us have not gone through anything. So, Judah didn't know what time I was feeling. It's easy to tell widows. Manage, keep control. You can control your life. You know, God take care of you. Then he lost his own wife. Are you hearing me? Judah lost his wife. Tamar was in her father's house, waiting for Sila. Sila didn't have time to go for that. And then, guess what? After morning, Judah was feeling one kind. And Tamar knew that he will feel one kind. So Tamar dressed up like a prostitute and went to the city where the man will go and rear his animal or raise his animals. And so she sat at the junction looking like a harlot. And Judah came and said, you know, because he's now feeling something. You know, people over here, you never know sexual pressure. You never know. So that's why you can speak about anybody. Be on that kind of pressure just for 1 hour. You know what you're going to deal with? Be with me. Am I attacking anybody this morning? You're talking about your brother owing you 5,000 and then 50 billion, you know. So, guess what? She slept with her. Or he slept with her. And then she got pregnant. The girl said, can you give me a sign? Give me a seal. He took his seal and took his ID card plus his credit card. Took it home. NIN number. And then the girl got pregnant. You know what he said? He said, ha, she's pregnant. Bring her out. We are going to kill her. We're going to burn her to death. We're going to roast her like suya. And they brought her out. He said, hey, before we go further, I want to let you know who pregnated me. Brought out the ID card plus NIN. They put on the computer. They checked. It was Jacob. It was Judah Jacob from Israel. Now, he's been panhebited. His iniquity had caught up with him. You know what he said? He said, this guy is more righteous than I. I didn't give. I never knew what he was going through. You know, they said about Joseph, we saw him crying. We didn't care. The root of iniquity is lack of love, is selfishness. I'm sorry for taking the time. Forgive me. I know we have a lot of things to do. They bear with us. This is where I'm going. Judah said to the father, remember where we got from that? He said, that I'll go. Judah was the one who sold Joseph. He said, let's sell him. Remember, go back and read the story. When they were thinking of, Reuben was thinking of taking him back to his father. Judah took him and said, let's sell him. And he collected the money and he spent it. Now, life had caught up with him. He lost 2 boys. He's gotten his daughter-in-law pregnant. Now, he's standing over there, all weathered bad. He said, Dad, I'll go and bring him. Dad said, go. Give him his son. They got to Egypt. Joseph, I'm already crying. Joseph saw his brother. I'm just broke up. He ran inside, cried. See, in family, struggles, iniquities. Some of us over here, we know we'll go through in our families. But God has blessed us. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? God has blessed us. God has blessed us. So, you know what he didn't tell them? So he organized the food and he put them according to their order. You know, and according to their age, sit down there. And they were shocked when they were eating because they were all according to their order. And did something, he gave 5 plates to Benjamin. You don't know what between me and Benjamin. You don't know what was there. They don't understand because his mother died quite early. Everybody had their mother's tent to go. When it comes in the night, they go to their mom, they do mother's prayer, and they go sleep. Joseph didn't have that honor. He's with his brother. He'll go to an empty tent. and become the father, the mother of Benjamin. So he took his brother, made him sit down there. I don't know how to close this service, but I hope you understand me. Down the years, struggles, iniquity. But God wants to forgive all of us. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? He wants to forgive all of us. All our stuff. Finally, Joseph hid some kind of cup or some money in their bag and put it in Benjamin's bag. And then they got down there. He said, come back. You stole my cup. They said, we didn't steal anything. They opened the bag. It was Benjamin. And then they came back. The brother started crying. Oh, you know, I'm not pleased. My father will. Then Judah stood up. Who sold Joseph? Now he has time to recover, and you will recover too, and you go beyond that in Jesus' name. He stood up and said, Mr. Governor, I promised my dad I'll bring him back. If I don't, my father will die in his old age. Now, can you just imagine what's going on in the mind of Joseph? He sold him. Now his own brother, not his own brother, but it's Joseph's brother. And I'm standing up for him. And you can stand up. You can clear that case. You can sort out. You can put things back together. Amen, somebody. I know in my family, I've been there. This will happen. I just stand up and say, let's clear this. One time, Brother Adi was telling me, his family, the father had so much land. They were having problems. He just got up and said, let's do it right. Let's give this. Let's give that. Let's give that. Everybody said, Mom, am I right? You want to speak up. You are a child of God. You are our new Judah. You are the praise of his glory. We can't call our family away. They are part of us. Am I right? Iniquity. And Joseph got to a point he couldn't go further. The Bible said, I don't know how to say this. Let's read it. Genesis 44, 45. Let's read it. Verse 1, 45 verse 1. I'm going to have to stop my time. Sorry, sir. 45 verse 1. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, make everyone go from me. No one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Next verse. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians, can you imagine? All those pain, emotional torment, all the struggle, all being sold in the house of Potiphar, in the hands of the Potiphar's wife, in prison, forgotten. He wept, he cried. I mean, it was so loud, they were hearing it somewhere else. Next verse. And Joseph said to his brother, I'm Joseph. Does my father still live? His brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Next verse. Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. You are all I've got. So they came near. He said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Let's keep reading. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here for God. Oh, come on, clap your hands for Jesus. You know, in all that iniquity, God is still working out your life. They didn't pay your school fees, you had to pay it yourself. Your dad forgot you, you rose up today. God was there when nobody was there. And God will see you through in the coming years. Amen. We'll see us through in the coming years. We'll go further than where we are in Jesus' name. Am I making some sense this morning? Sorry for taking our time, forgive me. But he forgives our iniquity. He sent me to preserve life. Next verse. For these 2 years, famine has been in the land. There are still 5 years in which there have been neither plowing nor harvesting. Next verse. And God sent me before you to preserve prosperity in the earth and to save your life by great deliverance. Next verse. So it was not you that sent me here, but God. And has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Quickly, hurry and go to my father. I say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't tarry. I don't have time. They told the father, he just passed out. Bible said, his spirit left him. He just looking at him. He said, Joseph, he said, we lied to you. We didn't tell you the truth. Joseph is alive. When he saw the wagons, when he saw the blessings coming from Joseph, and you see the wagons too in Jesus' name, you see God's blessings, benefits coming to show you that I've already forgiven you. Did you hear what Pastor Deola Ojo said last Sunday about somebody giving them some dollars? And he said, I will give you enough money to never doubt your calling again. Did you hear that? God's going to shock you beyond measure and bless you beyond measure to let people know that I'm a God who settles accounts. Hallelujah. I got to quit. We can't talk about healing anymore. I've taken the time. It's already past 9. Forgive Pastor my iniquity of always taking too much time. All right. Are we blessed today? All right. Let's just give Pastor some offering and choir come and sing quickly. And let's get out of here. Praise God. Our Father, we thank you. Oh God, you are the forgiver of men and women. You are the one who settles account. The blessing is in your hand. The benefit is yours. We receive this benefit, Father. For everyone hearing me here and online, wherever we are, those who will hear later, may we see that you are settling account. And you are the God who gives us loving kindness and tender mercies, who heals our sickness, redeem our life from destruction. And you fill our mouth with good things to our youth, you know, like the eagles. Thank you for forgiveness of our twistedness and iniquity. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give our pastor's offering first, then we'll give our offering after the finish.